In an unprecedented move, Microsoft intends to acquire Activision Blizzard for $68.7 billion. What could it mean for Sony? What impact will it have industry-wide? We break it all down and more on episode 266 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name's Garrett Drake, and I'm joined online by my dear friend, Jacob Alka.
Hey, buddy. How you been?
I've been a bit better, I'll say that. I've had a rather rough morning after last night, but I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there. I'm feeling just a little stuffy, and I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
So I'm working through it. I got my coffee, my new, check this out, Chick-fil-A mug that I got at Chick-fil-A headquarters the other day. Look at this.
Oh.
You know who that is?
That's Chucky the chicken, right?
Yeah, I don't pretty know. Much. His name is Doodles. I'd never seen him before. He was the mascot before the cows were at Chick-fil-A.
Really?
Yeah, and it's got the original. I've always liked this logo, the red and black Chick-fil-A logo. Oh,
that is nice.
It's the original.
So what were you doing at the headquarters yesterday?
It's kind of funny, actually. An old friend of mine who I have not seen in over 10 years or hadn't seen in over 10 years hit me up to do just shoot some content for them. They're doing like their annual corporate address, like state of the company and everything. And so that was cool. It's cool to see him again and work with him and get a behind the scenes look at the state of Chick-fil-A, and they are thriving to no one's surprise. Right. Some interesting stuff going on for sure that isn't bad for the company, just with COVID and supply chain shortages and labor and stuff. They've faced some challenges, which were really interesting to sit in on and hear.
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool. That's where I got my mug. I was at the headquarters for the first time, and what I thought were tall tales about how wonderful this place was happened to be very true. I felt like Han Solo when he's on the Millennium Falcon talking to Rey and Finn, where he's like, the Jedi, the Force, it's all true. So I felt when I went to Chick-fil-A. Batmobile was there, Keaton's Batmobile, and like a whole line of cool cars.
That's awesome.
All the food was amazing. Of course, you can get just like on the house Chick-fil-A, whatever you want there, but there's all kinds of other stuff. And just the facility itself and even the hospitality that you experience at a Chick-fil-A restaurant extended to even the corporate level, because it's all still family owned.
Yeah.
So that just trickles down from the top all the way to their restaurants, which I think is incredible. So it's no wonder that they're as successful as they are. So it was a cool experience.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I couldn't leave empty handed. That's where I got Doodle's mug.
Did you have to purchase it, or was it like a gift?
I purchased it. It was $13, which for a mug is not bad. And this is like a really nice one, too. It's thick and hefty. So just how I like them, Jacob.
The key to a good mug is the handle, I've always found. If it has a nice sturdy handle, it like doesn't feel too weighty, then you know it's a good mug.
Yeah, it's one of my new favorites for sure.
That's why I've always liked this one that I'm drinking out of. It's the Georgia mug, but it has a really
very
great
fitting
handle.
Too.
Like I have bigger hands, so it just has a nice little handle. It's as good.
What
weight
a year to
it.
Be a Georgia sports fan!
It is, man.
Especially if you like the Braves and Bulldogs. I know there are obviously many other Georgia sports ball teams, but as a Georgia fan and a very, very lukewarm Braves fan, it's been a cool year for sure.
Definitely.
Of course, the Hawks can pull it off.
Yeah, no. No. And the Falcons certainly didn't, but they almost made the playoffs. They've had much worse years over the last few years, so things are.
I'd rather
better.
Them have just the worst record of all time than almost make the playoffs.
I would too, because it means a better draft pick. But
exactly,
you know.
So,
but I think the players get paid more if they win more games. So can't really knock them for not trying to win.
Be some motivation. Yeah. It's like not to get us off track here, but it reminds me of how much better random players would play as a team in Halo if they were rewarded for winning matches when currently they are not, which is just crazy to me.
That's why the idea of like a ranked system or like a, you know, anything like, you know, we used to play Overwatch and they had a ranked system, and like League of Legends, Halo has had ranked systems. Call of Duty has in the past, but they don't really do it much anymore. But I've always loved trying to climb tiers in a ranked system. Because it just gives you that inspiration to want to, you know, play well and progress.
Yeah. The only thing I wish I just had a consistent team I could play with. Because, I mean, it's one thing to just play well on your own. But I feel like the most fun I've ever had in any competitive multiplayer game is playing with friends and pulling off like a
100%.
Narrow victory.
Oh, yeah.
Just so satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Jacob, tell me how your week was. Unfortunately, Preston couldn't be with us. But we've addressed those who have listened to the previous episode, our situation with work and life, everything going on. So hopefully that's understood. But tell me how your week was.
It's been okay. Lots of work. Yesterday was extra grueling. Worked a long day and was in a cold box for an extended period of time. So I was very cold.
Now, walk me through this for a second, Jacob. I've been curious. Mm-hmm. When you walk into this cold box, do you dress like an Eskimo all bundled up?
I have a work coat. I have gloves. I have like a beanie. Like I have everything you would need to like hike a snowy mountain. Like that's basically like
theoretically climb Everest. You're prepared to do that.
I got the long socks. I got, you know, my hiking boots on. Like I'm just decked out. And even then, like sometimes your hands or your feet will get cold still. But you know, I've been doing it for so long that you kind of know what you're getting into. You know what you need to wear. But I remember when I first started the job several years ago, like I the first time I went in that cooler, I was like, oh my God, like how do I even do this? managed to get through it. Wasn't that big of a deal. Just cold. But my week overall has been, so on Wednesday, so I've made it a goal this year to get back into the gym and do legs. Like it's not that I haven't been working out legs. It's more so that I've been doing them at home instead of going to the gym.
And this is for context. This is post-surgery, right?
Oh.
Did you ever have that surgery?
Yes. Yeah, I did. Okay. The hernia surgery.
Yeah.
But that wasn't why I wasn't working out in the gym. It was at first. Like, that's why I didn't do it 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, like, June 2020, I want to say, is when that hernia first started to appear. So, I was like, okay, I'm going to take it a little easier on my lower leg workout so I don't, you know, hurt myself. And I did that. And then COVID was happening that same year. So I couldn't go to the gym really. So I kind of got into the habit of not going to the gym to work out legs because I didn't like to work out legs. So I was like, I'm just going to do some body weight stuff. I'll do some cardio, you know, and that'll be good enough. But I've tried to make it a goal this year to get back into the gym and do legs. And on Wednesday I did that. And yesterday and Thursday prior were awful because of how sore I was. And it's made trying to get through those last couple of days a challenge because I'm just, every time I stand up from my chair, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to fall. Mm-hmm. Or like just trying to walk, you know, you feel it in every step. So, and you know, obviously it's going to get easier as I keep doing it, but that's been a sort of a little mini goal that I've set for myself. And I'm actually enjoying doing legs because it's just, I'm not doing what I typically do. Like anytime I get into a slump in working out, I'll always try to do different things because I know just doing that will give me the motivation and the interest to keep going. So
absolutely.
And it's good to always do different things so your body doesn't just get into a autopilot. And that's a great way to plateau.
Right.
If we're being honest. Other than that, been reading a book, mostly in my spare time, been playing some Final Fantasy 14. And this week I've spent a lot of time updating my resume to apply for some jobs.
Sweet.
Which has actually been a lot more work than I thought it would be because my old resume was on my old computer that's not really working anymore. So I couldn't really take it off of it because it barely turns on. And when it does turn on, it's like so slow that it takes like 15 minutes for me to open an application. So I just didn't feel like it was worth it. So I just started over, made a brand new one, and I'm almost done with it. So
sweet.
That's been exciting, I guess. Actually, it's been kind of boring, but it'll lead to more exciting things.
Boring, but necessary.
Yes.
You gonna start sending it out soon?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to start applying for some jobs soon. So that'll be exciting.
Definitely.
But other than that, dude, I don't think I've been doing too much else. Just kind of some mundane, everyday stuff for me.
I get that. I mean, it is January after all. January is typically a relatively uneventful month for everyone.
Yeah. I've been feeling like that January blues, like whatever you want to call it. Like I've just been kind of not happy. Down. Yeah.
Yeah. Post-holidays and all the events of the previous year are said and done. And all that's left is the future.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going to take down that tree behind me today or tomorrow.
Yeah, long last. It's always sad to see him go.
Yeah. I kind of like it because it's a nice night light. But
I love the ambient lighting of a Christmas tree at night.
Mm-hmm. I love just like turning on a show at night just having the tree on in the background. It's a nice little light.
Definitely.
But alas, it must go. But tell me about you, man. Besides Chick-fil-A HQ, been doing anything else exciting? You mentioned that you had a good night last night, maybe, or that you had a rough morning because of a good night?
Yeah, my girlfriend and I and my cousin and her boyfriend have been hanging out a lot on the weekends. And we'll just like go to a restaurant, get a couple of drinks and call it a night. But we just had a few too many margaritas. And I had just straight tequila a couple of times too. So, you know, obviously
I hate tequila, dude.
It'll give you a raging headache, dude. And I didn't drink to the point where I was like stumbling around or anything, but just by the time I woke up this morning, I just had the worst headache ever. But I'm hanging in there. So it was fun. But this is one of the busier, well, I mean, every week is busy with work, but in terms of shoot days, the consistency of shoot days, we'll shoot typically like maybe a couple of times a week and edit the rest. But I shot Tuesday through Friday this week, which is pretty abnormal. So it was exhausting by the end.
Sounds like you got a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. In a good way, it was exhausting. So early days too. Like we had a 2-hour commute on Tuesday to Thompson, Georgia, very close to Athens. And we're shooting some content for UGA, actually. This UGA firm or organization's helping promote renovation for this small town in Thompson, Georgia. So we're shooting stuff for that.
Where is it in relation to Athens? Like which way?
I'm not sure. I didn't look on a map, but well, obviously I did for GPS, but I didn't actually like try to look where Athens exactly was. But I just knew that my mentor's old buddy from the marching band at UGA is who hit him up about the project, and that's how we got linked up for that. But that was a project. I did the Chick-fil-A stuff. I think I did something else. I'm totally forgetting. I can't remember. But yeah, Chick-fil-A was cool. And this week we had another video come out for the band Era. I mentioned Era a while back because we shot two videos for them back in August of last year. And the second video was for their new single that just came out a couple of days ago. It's called Night of Silence. And that video is super sick. We're very proud of it. And I'm really grateful I was able to contribute to that one. So that came out a couple of days ago. And it was just fun to finally have that come out, as we worked on it so long ago. But that is a really awesome song. If anyone's in the metalcore, if you haven't already checked out Era, definitely at least check out that song. It's a really good one.
Yeah. But I have a quick question.
Yeah.
What's like the process for, are you solely putting the video together yourself?
No, there's for those two specifically, there were four of us.
I guess my question is like, what's that process like of actually putting the video together? Cause I know every music video is different, and every video has like a sort of, I don't know if storyboard's the right word, but like, you know, an overlay of what the video is trying to portray, and
oh yeah,
that
totally
matches with the song, obviously. But
yeah, fortunately, the labels we work with allow the bands to collaborate with usually Kevin about, or really whoever's directing the video, about what they want it to be like conceptually. Mm-hmm. And in this one in particular, the themes of the song sort of evoked the idea of a blizzard, monsoon, fire, a bunch of different elements. So that's what the video portrays. There's a blizzard simulated throughout. That's all in camera, too. There's no visual effects, which I love.
That's cool.
We set a car on fire and just completely burned it to a crisp.
That's cool.
That's the kind of stuff you can get away with and where we were shooting. Mm-hmm. And also had a fire hose from a fire truck simulate this big monsoon scene. So putting it all together was just shooting it, too, was fun. And then editing was also a fun process. But they're cool dudes, too. A couple of them are big gamers because we were all staying together at the farm we were at. And one of them was playing a lot of Apex in between filming, and another guy was playing a lot of League the whole time. Mm. So it was kind of fun. But
I've been seeing so many people play League on Twitch, and it's making me want to play League, even though I've never played. But
I've always been interested in trying it just due to its popularity. And now after Arcane, I know Arcane isn't anything like the gameplay of League, but just the fact that it's based in that world makes me more interested to try it.
Yeah, I think three of those characters are in the game.
That's cool.
And I think they like got skins from the show too.
So yeah, I don't know if we had mentioned Arcane on the last episode because we've been gone so long, but Arcane is
we love Arcane,
dude. It is so freaking good.
Yeah.
I loved everything about it.
It's everything that I wish Blizzard would do with their IPs.
I know. That's what I was thinking the whole time. Like the potential, how many IPs have with their content to do something like this. I know, obviously, like, you have to have the budget to pull something like that off, but man, it was just so good.
Maybe once this Microsoft acquisition goes into effect in a year or so, we'll see some stuff like that. I know Microsoft is doing a bunch of, or not a bunch, but they're doing the Halo TV series right now. So
yeah,
even if we get a TV series, like, you know, something that's on like HBO Max, like I would be okay with that. Just anything besides like a WoW movie. I don't want that again. I want something more like a show.
I have a lot of confidence in The Last of Us show. They have an amazing cast, really awesome showrunners who did Chernobyl. And then the fact that Neil Druckmann, say what you will about Neil Druckmann, but I still believe he is a remarkably talented creative person. Mm-hmm. With him involved to sort of facilitate decisions, creative decisions for that show, obviously evolving it a bit to adapt to the screen versus a video game. I have the utmost confidence that show is really going to deliver. I cannot wait for that.
Me too.
We'll probably see a trailer in the near future. If not spring, probably early summer. Mm-hmm. Because I'm pretty sure it debuts in the fall. So
yeah,
really looking forward to that.
Do you want to go see the Uncharted movie when it comes out?
With you or just in general?
Just with me.
Yeah, I'll go see it with you.
I want to go see it with you. Because
that's the odd thing about that movie, dude, is that I do think it looks entertaining, but I don't think it really necessarily makes me feel like it's Uncharted. They're just playing those characters. But I think even if it wasn't Uncharted, an adventure treasure hunt movie with Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland has potential just to be entertaining, because I feel like their chemistry is going to be really good.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'll go see it with you.
I just want it to be good. And if it is good, I want someone there to talk about it with.
Of course. I'd love to do that with you, Jacob.
Someone that gets Uncharted, you know?
Yeah. Man, I have so much going on in my mind right now, just about like video games and movies and, of course, the Microsoft thing, which I'm very excited to talk to you about. And also, I'm just really glad we're doing this morning. I got that old familiar feeling of, you know, like every weekend we'd get together and record podcasts. Just a good feeling.
Yeah, it used to be every Saturday for a while, every Sunday, you know?
Yeah.
So we're more consistent like these last couple of weeks than we've been in a long time. So it's a nice feeling.
Absolutely. I guess we can jump into what we've been playing. You want to kick us off?
Sure. I can do that. Unfortunately, well, I guess not really unfortunate, but I haven't really played anything new from when we last spoke. Just more of the same, more FF14. Getting closer and closer to finishing that campaign, which is really my main goal. Story's really picking up. Can't really talk about it for the sake of listeners that might be playing it or haven't played it yet that want to. But my God, the story is just, even when I find myself the least bit bored, I want to keep going because the story is just so compelling to me. And I just love what is happening in the game. It's so awesome. And still really loving the Reaper class that I've chosen to sort of experience the story through this expansion. Shifting gears to Pokemon, I've kind of not played that as much this week. I did. So after the seventh gym leader, you sort of like take a sidestep and go deal with the Team Rocket equivalent in this game, which is I think they're called Team Galactic. I want to say I should know, but I don't. But they have like neon blue hair, I think. And I'm pretty sure they're called Team Galactic. It's kind of unfortunate because they're sort of pushovers. They have really weak Pokemon. They have like a bunch of bug types that are really weak. They have a bunch of Zubats. They got they have this like cat thing that's really weak. Like, they just have a bunch of lame Pokemon. So, and it seems like every trainer has the same Pokemon, which is kind of lazy in my opinion.
Are you talking about Arceus right now?
No. I'm talking about Brilliant Diamond, the remake of the fourth gen. Arceus comes out this Friday, actually, which I need to pre-order because I want to play that. I'm actually going to go to a GameStop and pre-order a game, which I don't do anymore. But
that sounds fun.
It's because I like having Switch games in physical form. They're the only ones that I do that for anymore. But I like my little Switch collection. I love the cases. Yeah.
Jacob, can I say one thing real quick?
Sure.
Am I crazy or am I ignorant in saying that I think Arceus looks like total garbage?
Did you watch the video that Preston told me to watch?
No.
Watch that video. Watch the latest gameplay video. And so are you like judging that based off the initial launch trailer?
Maybe, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I've seen recently. I saw a couple of screenshots that just looked terrible to me.
I mean, if you're comparing it to like Breath of the Wild, like it's a little underwhelming in terms of like just the world and how it looks. But I think it looks charming. It's if you've always wanted a Pokemon game that's an open world like RPG, like this is a step in that direction. I wouldn't say it's like everything you ever wanted, but it's gonna hit that itch for sure. And I would recommend you check it out again. Check out the latest gameplay trailer. I can link you a video. But that video that Preston was talking about last week got me even more excited. I watched it right after the podcast. So I was taking a poop and I watched the video. Perfect time to watch a video, by the way.
Always. Yeah. It's typically where I get in my gameplay videos.
But yeah, I'm highly anticipating that game. That's the next thing I'll be playing. So I need to try and knock out Brilliant Diamond this week when I have some time. Aside from that, jump back into Metroid a little bit. Didn't play a whole lot of it, but sort of trying to get back into it because I took a little break once Pokemon came out. So I'm trying to like get used to the game again because I jump back in. It's like that feeling where you don't remember everything, like how to do everything. So you just have to kind of fool around and kill some guys and relearn all the controls and your abilities. So, but it's just fun just to run around that game and screw around and kill stuff. So, I assume that Metroid and Final Fantasy and Pokemon will be my the bulk of my gaming this week and for the next couple of weeks to come, including Arceus, which will be another Pokemon game. But aside from that, really looking forward to Horizon that's coming out soon. And what else? Oh, Elden Ring at the end of February, for sure.
Totally.
But what about you, man?
I played a handful of things, not nearly as much as last week. I played more Infinite, and I still really enjoy the game. This weird thing keeps happening to me. I think it's just because I haven't played with Zach in a while, but mm-hmm. I'll be in the middle of a match after playing a few and just become so bored that I almost just want to quit immediately for some reason. I don't know why. Mm. Maybe that's when it starts to feel repetitive. And I think my problem is until they revamp the progression and challenge system, you eventually hit a wall playing the game. So I will play my standard like 5 to 6 matches that earn me the most experience for the day. And then it defaults to like 50 experience a match. And then you have to resort to just only doing challenges to rank up faster. Mm-hmm. And I'll do a handful of challenges that are pretty straightforward, you know, like 15 kills with the pistol, 5 kills with the BR, win a match of this or that. But once you blow through those, it starts to up the difficulty of the challenges to where they're far more tedious and frustrating. It'll be like capture 3 flags and capture the flag. Well, there's no capture the flag playlist. So for me to even have a chance of doing that, I have to luckily land a capture the flag match in quick play. And then I have to hope that I can actually capture the flag.
Yep.
So you hit a wall and like being stuck like that and being in the middle of a match, not playing what I want to be playing is a big bummer.
I can't believe they did this challenge thing. Like it just seems so stupid to me.
Yeah, revolves around like the free to play model, and it's all the whole game is crafted around that system, which is unfortunate.
Like, look at Fortnite though; like they've created a battle pass, and all you got to do is just play games. You just play a game, you get experience. Like you get different amounts of experience for how well you do, or like things you complete in the game mm-hmm. or during a match. But like why would you tie it to challenges? Like to where if you don't even complete one or if you don't get the game type that you don't progress at all. Like that just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, you always, fortunately now they very quickly change that after launch and complaints. Mm-hmm. You do technically progress just at a snail's pace, just very, very slowly.
Yeah. See, I haven't played in a while, so I haven't played since those changes came in.
And the theory being is that they don't want players to blow through the battle pass quickly.
Why?
especially season 1, because season 2 doesn't come till May. Mm-hmm. Which is an extremely long time.
Why? That's so
just because the game's technically still like barely in beta phase and it just has a bunch of issues. But they've already announced that with the next, I think it's the next update in February, they're adding a credit system, or maybe it's season two, I can't remember, but there'll be a credit system. They haven't gone into detail into how it'll work, but I think you can earn credits. That's the in-game currency you can spend on stuff in the shop versus real money, which is pretty much common in every free-to-play game at this point. So that's kind of cool, but one update they added this past week, which is actually, I think, a really fun game type, is called Attrition. Mm-hmm. It plays very much like Warzone and or even Execution and Gears of War, where each team has a set number of lives, and once those lives deplete, you all have one life left. So if you get killed, you go down permanently, but you can be revived by a teammate if they get to you. Yeah. So that's a really fun competitive mode that I think fits really well with an Infinite that I think that I'd love to see stick around long term rather than just an event. Mm-hmm. So that's been cool. The cyber event, whatever it is, like the Tron looking gear you can unlock is whatever to me. I really just don't get that excited about the cosmetics in the game. I just want there to be a really strong competitive ranking system and experienced granted based on individual performance, and victory versus loss is like my biggest hope for Infinite. Mm-hmm. That's another video I may do for our channel, is like my top five desires for Halo Infinite in 2022. It's like there's a handful of things I'm like extremely passionate about, and I know I'm not the only one that feels that way. But
yeah, I could see anyway, that video doing well.
Yeah, and that's another thing too about Infinite, man. I mean, there are matches, dude, where I have so much freaking fun. There's just so many random sandbox physics-based moments that'll happen in Halo, like classic Halo, that are just timeless. It's so fun. And then I'll be in a match and just hit that wall and be like, all right, I'm gonna go do something else. So
yeah,
that's the biggest problem with Infinite, is that 343 with this game is just on the cusp of greatness. They're right there. It just needs a handful of more tweaks, a couple of additions, and it can really, really thrive long term. But they're just, that's what's so hard about it, is that they're that close, but they're just not quite there yet.
Yeah. The way you're talking about Halo right now, it reminds me a lot of how like Apex when it came out. Like, I remember just loving that game when it came out. And I remember it was just a huge surprise to everybody when it came out too, besides like some creators that knew it was coming because they were testing the game.
Yeah.
But like when that game launched, like it was so bare bones. Like you could just jump in, you could play with two friends, and there wasn't really much of any way to earn cosmetics. I think there were a few cosmetics, but it wasn't really till when the battle pass came out that, you know, that was like the first step of like, you know, this sort of like way to rank up and have fun. And even for a while, there wasn't even a rank system in that game. It was just bare bones. You jump in, you're just trying to win the game. That was it. So, and then slowly over time, they made a lot of improvements and really made the game really great for a lot of people that still play it today. Not really me anymore, but yeah.
I get my ass kicked every time I play Apex.
I did too.
So bad.
I used to stream it for a while. That was like my main streaming game when I was streaming back in the day.
It is a really fun game. I still think it's awesome. I'm just really bad at it.
Yeah. I was decent. You know, I wouldn't say I was anywhere near good, but I was okay.
Yeah.
I usually got a few kills a game.
Yeah, Apex is cool. Also play some Dead Space 3. Almost done with it. Nice. Very close. Dude, I'm not going to share too much here because I would still like to do a video on that trilogy, but Dead Space 3 has really surprised me how good it is. Because I never got around, I mean, I never played the second one either for some reason, but I never played the third one because all I ever remember hearing was, oh, it's just an action game. It's nothing like original Dead Space. I never heard a single person say it was a good game. Mm-hmm. So I think going in with low expectations, it's really surprised me as to how enjoyable it actually is. It's by no means a horror game. It has horror elements, but it's very much an action thriller compared to the first one. Whereas the first one's very survival horror. Progressing through the franchise, it's very much an action thriller with horror elements. And I think it's like a very fun action game. Like, it's great. The spookier moments hit really well. There's a bunch of fun new enemy types. It has the deepest level of customization of weapons. I mean, you can literally build weapons from scratch and just make these crazy combinations that do all these different primary and secondary functions. So that's really cool. Like, your sense of exploration and collection of materials is all the more satisfying. Mm-hmm. Because you're combining them into unique weapons and parts, or you can invest that into your rigs, which is your armor you wear. There's always been different rigs throughout all the games, but the third one has the deepest level of customization throughout all of them. So it really lets you craft the game to your play style playing through it. Really cool set piece moments. The story's relatively compelling. Performances are strong. Even with the age of the game, it still looks really good. Plays very well on PC. And just the progression from the beginning of the game toward the end where I'm at now has just been a very fun journey. And even Isaac Clarke, is it Isaac Clarke? I think that's his name. I know it's Isaac something, but he, the progression of his character throughout the trilogy, I think also works really well because he starts out as just purely an engineer and has to fight to survive. And by the end of the third game, he's just like this complete badass soldier, still an engineer. But that you can see that progression in gameplay that I actually do think works really well for him as a character. And even more so than 1 and 2, there are a bunch of little mini games that are not at all tedious or annoying that really emphasize the fact that he's very intelligent and an engineer before he's a soldier. So there's a lot of fun little mini games throughout that really emphasize and remind you of like, yes, he can kick ass and slay aliens, but at the end of the day, he began as an engineer. It's cool. Mm-hmm. So really just enjoyable game. And if you've never played Dead Space 3 and you like that franchise, I recommend it. Super cool.
Are you playing on Steam? I don't know if you
I'm playing Dead Space. It was weird because I played Dead Space 2 on Steam, but for some reason 3 was not available on Steam. I can't remember. There's some reason. Oh, it was Game Pass. That's why.
Okay.
On Game Pass, for some reason, it forces me to link Game Pass through EA Play to play Dead Space 3. Mm-hmm. So whenever I launch it on Game Pass, it launches in EA Play, and that's where I'm technically playing it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird, but it hasn't been an issue. Outside of that, I also played some more Returnal. Mm-hmm. And I had not played Returnal in a couple of weeks, or at least a few weeks. I think I may have played it last episode. I can't remember. But I still recognize that game's so cool. And every time I play it, it's really enjoyable. I just get discouraged because I'll go on a really, really good run. And then I'll die and have to start all the way over again. Mm-hmm. And it is hit or miss because some runs are a breeze getting back to where you left off. Then others are much more difficult.
Yeah.
So it's a bit frustrating in that regard. But I understand that's very much a part of its formula. And I don't consider that a con or a negative whatsoever. It can just be disheartening sometimes.
Yeah.
But I intend to play that here and there a bit more because I do want to beat that at some point because I think it's a great game. And lastly, I played Rainbow Six Extraction for COD Connected to capture some gameplay.
Oh,
and that game is the most underwhelming, bland multiplayer shooter experience I've had in a long time.
Man, Ubisoft's
Holy
killing
crap.
It.
Man, it's boring. And I knew within the first 5 minutes, I was like, this game is lame.
Yeah.
It's not good. And all it made me want to do is play Rainbow Six Siege again. But it's just... I don't even know if you call it half-baked. It's just uninspired and boring. It's just not fun. Like, shooting enemies is boring. The enemy types are kind of lame and generic. The objectives are very few and far between. I mean, I'm sure over time they could add more, but at launch, it's a really weak lineup of objectives you complete. Feels repetitive.
Isn't it meant to be sort of like a Left 4 Dead sort of thing?
Kind of, but not nearly that intense at all. That's more tactical than that. You can take a stealthy approach. You can take an action-packed approach. And there are some things I appreciate. Like your operators, if they get killed in a mission, they're out of commission. I don't know if it's permanently, but for a long period of time. And you only have a set number of operators you can use. And there's kind of a fun mechanic where if one of your teammates goes down and you survive like a wave of enemies, you can actually pick them up and go to... There's a rescue mission as that happens. If they die in a mission, you progress to the next objective. And the next area you go to, they're actually trapped in this nest. And you have to go get them out and extract them to like revive them, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that's a pretty fun, challenging mechanic that really encourages you to like stay alive because otherwise you're going to screw your team and you'll be out of commission for a while. So, I mean, I think people will enjoy it, but it's just not at all the kind of game I'm into. So I found it very underwhelming, but to each their own, you know.
What'd you play on?
PC.
Okay.
I mean, ran phenomenally on PC. I didn't have any issues. It just wasn't fun to play. Yeah.
How was like the gunplay compared to Siege, for example?
Exact same. It feels exactly the same. It's basically Siege. I think originally I read that this was like an event that was in Siege a couple of years ago or a year ago or something. And then they maybe even longer than that. I think Extraction was in development for a long time.
Yeah, it seems like it has been.
And it became its own entity now. So, but I actually, because I haven't played Siege in a while and I still think that game's awesome. And this made me just want to try Siege again.
Yeah.
But same problem, dude. I just have no friends to play competitive shooters with anymore, at least consistently.
Yeah.
So yeah, I still stand by. One of my favorite Let's Plays we ever did was with Siege.
Mm-hmm.
Were you there for that one?
I don't think so. I think it was Preston.
Yeah, that was a really good time.
Because I've never played that game.
It's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
Very different from a lot of shooters that are out these days.
Oh, yeah. It's very much so, like, if you take a hit, you're going to die, basically.
Totally.
Very much not my kind of shooter. I
do want to play Tarkov really badly. I've long had an interest in that. I just have not had the willingness to shell out like the $40. And it has like its own launcher and everything. It's not on Steam. Mm. So I don't think that's a problem for the game. I just haven't really had the motivation to buy it like that.
I know people love that game.
Yeah. Tarkov looks sick. I know there's a heavy rumor that the new Modern Warfare that obviously Infinity Ward is developing will have a Tarkov-like game mode. I still stand by that Infinity Ward is and always has been the best Call of Duty developer out of all of them. And they made the most progression for that franchise with 2019's Modern Warfare. I still think that game outshines every Call of Duty that's come since.
I agree.
And they were the inventors of, what's it called? What's it called? The 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 mode where you spawn with random weapons. Why can't I remember all of a sudden? I love that game mode. I even did a video on it for COG.
Gun?
It's not gun game. It's not gun point. You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
I do, yeah.
I'm just having a blank right now. It's all that freaking tequila I had. But that game mode is brilliant to me. And
gunfight.
Gunfight, that's right. We're close.
That's what I was going to say, but I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, but gunfight, I think, is a phenomenal game mode. Even implementing it into Warzone was brilliant, too, with the spawning and everything and the gulag. So I'm excited to see what other game modes they come up with.
Yeah.
But stoked for that.
It's been a while since I've actually even played a shooter. Like, the last time I played a shooter was when I played Halo with you, which was several months ago at this point. I just don't play them much anymore.
Yeah, I love many genres, but shooters and RPGs, specifically mostly Western RPGs, have always been my favorite kind of games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some shooters that I want to play. Like, whenever Overwatch 2 comes out, I'm going to definitely play that. I'm sure there's some others that I'm just not thinking of, but I don't know. I'm much more of a single-player guy right now, I feel like.
Yeah, I've had to kind of motivate myself to play Infinite because I still want to rank up in that game and progress, but I have been sort of in a single player mood as well. Like, it makes sense with Returnal and Dead Space and everything. So, and very soon with maybe Dying Light if I feel up to it before Horizon, but with Horizon and Elden Ring, man, I am highly anticipating those.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of Call of Duty, man, I feel like it's a good segue into talking about the news. You ready?
I definitely am.
All right, Jacob, there are many, many layers to this just insane headline this week that it seems like industry-wide, no one anticipated.
Yeah,
and
nobody.
It's one of those headlines, dude, that I thought was satire at first.
Me too.
I actually thought it was satire. And then I saw that everyone was commenting and reporting on it. I was like, holy crap, dude.
Yeah, I think it was like Tuesday morning. Like, I woke up, I like looked at my phone. I always look at, usually when I don't have to get up super early, I'll get on my phone, look at Twitter, and like first thing I read, it's like reports Activision or Microsoft has purchased Activision Blizzard for $6.87 billion. I'm like, wait, what?
Hey, dude, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of that scene in Infinity War when they're all in the Sanctum Sanctorum, whatever, Doctor Strange, and all of a sudden they it goes quiet and they hear people running and screaming. They walk out into the street and they're all creeped out looking around and they see that big ring in the sky.
Yeah,
that's what it reminded me of. Like, that headline was like when I was like walking out into the streets and seeing everyone panicking and seeing that in the sky is what it felt like. It's like Microsoft is like this unstoppable force of nature.
Dude.
And I was like, good, $68.7 billion, dude. And we thought the Bethesda acquisition was a lot. That is insane.
Yeah.
Like, I knew Microsoft was essentially infinitely wealthy, even compared to Sony, but I didn't realize they were that wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, we're going to break down all the layers, all the implications of this deal. But initially, I think most people have probably heard this by now, that the acquisition won't be official or even final until potentially June of 2023. It has something to do with the fiscal year ending around that time or whatever, but who knows who will battle this in court, if anyone will. So there are a lot of factors that could potentially delay or impact this deal.
Or halt the deal altogether.
Exactly. Now, I do believe it will happen.
Yeah.
And but what will happen between now and then will be interesting to stay tuned to. Mm-hmm. But before we break it all down, Jacob, I actually am like, this is going to sound strange at first. And I'm not saying this to be like, look, we're not fanboys. I like genuinely mean it when I say this could be a very, very good thing for gamers as a whole.
Definitely.
But before we break that down, what are your initial thoughts on this story?
So I'm hopeful and also skeptical. Hopeful in a sense where I don't think Activision Blizzard could be in a worse place than it is right now, both in terms of its perception and also the state of their games. Their games are just, content has been slow for pretty much every title that they own, including Call of Duty. They've delayed multiple Warzone seasons, and also the latest Call of Duty has not sold well at all. It's been very poor.
Even though it was the highest selling game of 2021.
Was it really?
I just found that out.
No
yeah.
way. Well, yeah. I know their sales are way down, mm-hmm. Which
is hilarious, dude. They could sell the most in the year out of every other game and it'd still be considered low. That's when you know they sell just gangbusters every year.
Oh, yeah. Why else am I hopeful? Mostly in a sense where, Call of Duty, there's been rumors about Call of Duty not being annual anymore with mm-hmm. this new acquisition.
I wanted to talk about that specifically mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, we can touch on that in a little bit. I just think... And a lot of people have been very upset about just the workplace and people in charge that have been abusing employees, whether it be, you know, abuse of power, sexual misconduct. A lot of people have problems with Bobby Kotick, employees at the company, and just media in general have been very vocal about their dislike for that man now, myself included. Well, I haven't really been vocal about it, but I'm not much of a fan of him at all. And there have been rumors about him not being a part of the company anymore once the acquisition takes place, if it does, which
Dude,
would make a lot of people happy.
One quick comment on him. Mm-hmm. I recently watched Moneyball for the first time. You ever seen that movie with Brad Pitt?
No. I know what it
Bobby,
is, though.
Bobby Kotick is in that movie as an actual actor.
No way.
Dude, because I was so... Because I had never seen that man's face till all these stories came out about him. And then... Oddly enough, the timing of it was just crazy is that I watched this movie and that is Bobby Kotick sitting in a chair being the CEO of like the Oakland A's or something.
No way.
In the movie. And I was like, I was like, there's no way that's him. There's no way. And then I looked it up and it is him. And I found out he was really good friends with the director. And apparently the director owed him one for something. And Bobby's like, I want to be in the movie with Brad Pitt. And he acts opposite to Brad Pitt for like three scenes.
No way.
I was like, what are the chances of that? It's a good movie, too. It's a really good movie. But that just was so odd to me that those stories start dropping. And then I watch that movie and he's like in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's insane. I would have never guessed that.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Dang it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to distract you.
No, it's fine. That was a good little tangent. But yeah, a lot of people are excited about potentially Bobby not being a part of the company anymore. Not to say that he's not good at his job. I mean, the man has made so much money for Activision. He's definitely a good businessman. But a lot of people are like they don't like him because he was in what's his face's black book? What's his name?
Epstein.
Epstein. Thank you, Jeffrey Epstein. Which we
and
all
like the countless other accusations against him. It's just a
yeah,
kind of
yeah. People
disaster.
Are just not a fan for, and understandably so. But I'm also skeptical because of like this is another major acquisition by Microsoft, and it's further stagnating is the right word. It's further condensing the ownership of just video game titles and studios in general. Like this is just like. This might not be a big deal, you know, in the short term, but maybe in the long term, we start to lose an identity of Blizzard or like any title that's not performing well, for example, like maybe sort of the same thing that's happened through the Activision purchase of Blizzard. you know, we've seen things like StarCraft sort of like fade away, which used to be a very popular and prominent franchise for a lot of people. But, you know, just many things can happen when big purchases are made like this. A lot of things can change. There can be a lot of layoffs for employees that currently have stable jobs. There's just so many things that go into it that are really just unknown at this point. And, you know, I think it's good to go into this with cautious
optimism.
You know? Yeah, optimism. Thank you. But I think overall I am more hopeful and excited than fearful.
For sure.
And those are sort of my general thoughts.
Yeah, I'm also very hopeful, Jacob. I've had many, many thoughts over this past week. I've thought about it a lot and just, of course, read many different takes, different rumors and theories. And I'm trying to think of like the general umbrella of my thoughts, and we can break down all the individual layers of all of this. But generally speaking, I'm hopeful because what many people are saying, Microsoft purchasing Activision Blizzard, of course, leadership will shift dramatically, even trickle down through all these studios. And Microsoft has the opportunity to, and the finances to enable all of these incredible development studios to do their own thing again. Because many of them, as everyone knows, have been siphoned into the cash cow that is, and the demand that is Call of Duty.
Everything's
and I think
annualized.
I even read in one of the articles, it wasn't not like Activision was like, screw all your other games. They literally just needed the help to sustain the popularity of Call of Duty. Yeah. And I'm hoping studios like Toys for Bob, Vicarious Visions. I think that's one of the studios, unless I'm mixing that up with another name.
Toys for Bob.
Yeah, but like, there's a bunch of smaller ones that have developed, like, you know, the Crash series, or remade the Crash series. The Tony Hawk remake was really good. Toys for Bob was Spyro. Not that I would want to see just remakes from these studios, but to see them really develop their own IP again would be just amazing if Microsoft could enable them to do that. And then have just a vast and dynamic lineup of studios under their belt. That's the best case scenario for gamers everywhere. Mm-hmm. Now, the caveat and challenge of that being, we're kind of spoiled in the sense that we're able to afford multiple consoles. We're able to afford a PC. Like my primary gaming world is between PlayStation and PC. PlayStation for literally just the exclusives. I rarely ever play a third-party game on my PS5.
Yep.
Or even on PS4 for that matter. I only had it for the exclusives. Mm-hmm. And everything else Microsoft related, even not Microsoft related, I chose to play on PC for performance. And just the PC gaming experience is unlike any other to me. So I was not worried about the acquisition, thinking like, oh, what am I going to play on PlayStation? Like, PlayStation still has amazing exclusives coming. Yeah. But the problem is that for me and for you and others like us that have PC and PS5, that's not really that big of a deal. We're still going to get to experience whatever hopefully amazing games come from this acquisition long term. Mm-hmm. Whereas some people can only afford one console and can't really deal or don't have the opportunity to acquire either a second console or a PC that really will straight up prevent them from experiencing a lot of these games. Mm-hmm. And I know it's the same on the other end. Like a lot of Xbox players are Spider-Man fans, but they can't play Spider-Man.
Sure. Yeah, you have first
unless
experience
they buy a PlayStation. Exactly. So it's the same on both ends, but this is much bigger than that because Microsoft now has full control of so many franchises.
Yeah.
So it could be a great thing for some people, and it could be a very bad thing for others. Right. That's what's challenging about it. But I'm excited about it personally because there's so much positive potential that could come from that.
Right. And to further elaborate, like, I think we're going to touch on this point, but even Sony is probably pretty worried right now because so Phil Spencer released a statement about, you know, there's still anything that's projected to be on PlayStation is still going to be on PlayStation, like Call of Duty, for example. But say if like Call of Duty wasn't an annualized release every year anymore, would they potentially make that an exclusive one day? Maybe. We don't know.
Let's break down Call of Duty first, because obviously that's the golden goose of this acquisition. I mean, even if you forgot about every other studio, of course, you know, like Blizzard's a big deal in all their IP as well, but Call of Duty is very much the golden goose.
Before we continue, I do think that So I think Call of Duty is huge, but I think the biggest acquisition in this whole deal in general is King. I think Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard because of King.
King?
Yeah, the makers of Candy Crush, actually.
Oh, I didn't know they were part of this.
Candy, yeah. So King, they by far bring in the most money for Activision Blizzard.
Oh, easily. I didn't even realize that was part of it.
And I think Microsoft is trying to bolster their mobile gaming. And yeah, when I first heard about this, because I knew they owned King, but I don't keep up with that side of their business. Like I don't care about Candy Crush at all. But I was listening to a YouTube creator called Bellular Gaming, and he informed me that, like, because I didn't really truly understand how much money they bring in every year, but it's like it's like by far way more than Call of Duty even, and it's way more than anything Blizzard does. Like Blizzard's like at the end of, like, they're on the lower end of actual revenue that they generate for the company. So I just want to make that clear. Like, I think the mobile side of this deal is like the reason why Activision was worth 68.7 billion, I think it was. So, but back to Call of Duty, if you can still remember what you were going to say.
Yeah, that's wild. No, yeah, it's kind of cryptic too, his tweet about, you know, franchises like Call of Duty will remain on PlayStation, because he could mean every existing Call of Duty will remain on PlayStation, but that tweet doesn't necessarily imply that future Call of Duties will be.
True.
The problem with that is that, I mean, it doesn't make a difference to me because I play Call of Duty on PC anyway, mm-hmm. but obviously the PlayStation base of players in Call of Duty is pretty vast as well. And now with the implementation of crossplay, you'd be knocking out a pretty sizable portion of the player base. It'd be kind of like an awkward situation if they just completely shave off a massive chunk of players,
mm-hmm.
Just for the sake of financial gain, which again, you can invest in a lot of good ways, but it'd be kind of a weird move. I feel like
definitely,
it just makes sense for Call of Duty, no matter who it's owned by, to be multi-platform for everyone.
You would think it's just popular. Yeah, it's just so massive, and it's just like people have played it on multiple platforms for so long. It would be weird. But I mean, I guess you could just make that same argument for a Bethesda game. Like, they've always been multi-platform too. But because, like, it's weird because, like, a lot of people, so like Activision made the deal with PlayStation to be like the primary, like they would do exclusive stuff with PlayStation ever since, I don't know, the PS4.
Yeah, just when the popularity and success of PS4 blew up,
right?
They made that transition.
So it's weird. Like, now it's potentially going back to Xbox. It's just so weird. I forgot where I was going with that. But
I wanted to ask you, you know, there's a theory or a rumor that Call of Duty could no longer be an annual release cycle.
Mm-hmm.
What would you rather see? Would you rather see a brand new Call of Duty every few years? Like new story, new time period, blah, blah, blah. Or would you like to see just the banner Call of Duty is the game and it's updated over time?
I would much prefer that. Yeah, I would much prefer just a fantastic call. Like sort of, I guess like if they would have just taken 2019 Modern Warfare and they would have just kept adapt or adding more and more to that, I would love that, because I thought Modern Warfare was awesome.
Yeah,
it was a new engine. It was, everything just felt smooth, and like everything looked fantastic. It played well, and like if they could have just kept adapting upon that game, that engine, I still think they use the same engine. Maybe I don't.
Infinity Ward does, and the other studios have. Okay. To an extent used it as well, but
and I think Warzone is still using that engine. Maybe I'm wrong.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it is. Cause it plays a lot like Modern Warfare,
mm-hmm.
more so than the other games.
That's something also to remember, like Warzone's on PlayStation. Like that's something that's going to keep reoccurring. So I don't know if they'd ever take that off. That's something to think about.
Yeah.
Cause it's not
thinking,
like, cause Warzone's outside of the annual releases. It's, mm-hmm. it's consistent.
I was wondering, I think Call of Duty may be too big to do like the update style model where it's just Call of Duty updated over time. Because you think about even outside the gaming world, how many millions of people buy the new Call of Duty everywhere, the same way some people just buy the new Madden every year.
Mm-hmm.
Would casual gamers and audiences that don't keep, or players that don't keep up with gaming news, would they understand that they would have to digitally update their Call of Duty every couple of years to add, like, say, here's a brand new campaign that was 3 years in development. We're just adding it to the game. You can update and play it, or you buy it through the game digitally. Like, that's how they kind of have to do it. It isn't like you can just have the continual updates and, like, go to GameStop and buy the new campaign.
So, I think they would. It would all be about, you know, the messaging, the marketing behind how you sort of release content, you know, like, because there are a lot of games that, like, just think of Halo Infinite. It's going to be like this. They're going to keep updating. You're just going to keep adding multiplayer updates. And, like, a lot of people play Fortnite. Like, there's so many just annualized digital updates for games now. Like, League of Legends is probably one of the longest running examples of this, where, like, it's the same game for all these years, but they've just found a way to keep it interesting and competitive for people for this long of a time. I think Call of Duty could do it. They would just need to make sure their messaging and marketing is good enough for it. Even if they were just going to do, like, different campaigns, like, just add a new campaign every couple of years, just to keep it interesting for those types of people that play Call of Duty for single player.
I wonder if Microsoft would, I mean, we could get on so many rabbit holes. I don't want to go on too deep of a tangent, but I wonder if Microsoft would combine all the Call of Duty studios into one mega studio.
That's what I was
thinking. And that mega studio just focuses on full-time Call of Duty. And that way you don't have to, like, drag in all the other studios to support it.
Yeah. That used to be how WoW was sort of developed at Blizzard. Like, they used to have a massive team that would, there would be, like, a team that would focus on, like, the maintaining of the game, like the live updates, the holiday events throughout the year, the patches throughout the expansions to, you know, keep people playing. And then there would be the team that would just work on the new content, the expansions, like the big new annual releases that would add massive updates to the game. So I could see something similar to that. I think Raven does Warzone right now. And then they have Sledgehammer, Infinity Ward, and Treyarch that are releasing the annual games every year. So I don't know. It would, because you would think they would have to lay off a lot of people if they did something like that. Because a lot of these studios probably share a lot of the same job titles, and you probably don't need, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 game directors, right? Like, you would either have to demote people or lay a lot of people off. I don't know how that would work. So maybe they would be fearful of consolidating like that. I don't know, man. There's really no best answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So long as these studios have opportunities to develop brand new games over time, I think it could be a very good thing. And the reason why I was going to read the whole article, but Activision was actually shopping themselves around to be purchased. And of course, Microsoft makes the most sense because they're the wealthiest of all the potential acquisitions. Sony could never afford them, of course. I don't even think, like, EA or anyone could afford them.
No, Sony's bigger than EA.
So
I think it's Tencent, then Sony, and then Microsoft now are the three biggest in gaming.
Yeah.
But Tencent's not going to buy them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, actually, they might have, but I don't think they wanted to be sold to Tencent because that's their competitor.
Yeah.
Like, they own Riot, which is, like, Blizzard's biggest competitor. Activision and Blizzard both.
I just hope Sony doesn't do anything crazy, like, oh, we're going to try to buy a handful of studios. I mean, Sony does buy studio or acquire studios, but very few and far between. And they always seem to be very intentional, smart acquisitions. It isn't just like, let's buy 8 of them right now because we can. Yeah. Not to undermine Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard, because those are awesome studios. But Sony has to be obviously more careful about who they acquire. And everyone under the Sony umbrella is outstanding. This purchase does not damage the PlayStation brand in the sense that there are so many talented studios developing awesome games time after time after time.
For sure.
So all the third party stuff is now completely outside of Sony's hands.
Yeah. So Sony's a much different company than Microsoft too. Like, they're more of an entertainment company. Microsoft is like a technology / entertainment company. Like, Microsoft, the bulk of their business is developing new technology. It's supporting their software, and it's much more about their software and their, like, you know, Microsoft Office and all that stuff. Xbox and gaming is just a small division of that business. And Sony, PlayStation's like, I think, the biggest part of their business. And then they have their movie division. They have, like, they sell a bunch of products. They
develop cameras and other types of gear. Yeah. And
speakers. Like, they have a bunch of stuff like that. And Sony is only like a tenth of the size of Microsoft. Like, Microsoft is so huge compared to Sony. So it would be much harder for Sony to like acquire someone like EA, for example, because they just don't have nearly as much money as Microsoft does. But, you know, I could see them, I don't know, maybe one day potentially making a purchase like Square Enix or Capcom or Sega, even maybe.
Nintendo. Oh, could anyone ever afford Nintendo?
No, there's no way. No. Nintendo's huge too.
Man, I'm trying to think of anything else we're leaving out to the story. But I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I don't think it at all undermines the excellence that is the PlayStation brand right now. PlayStation's still in a really great place with their IP. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Microsoft's going to be making a whole lot more money with all these third-party franchises they just purchased. But I just hope it doesn't impact Sony too greatly to the point where they can't fund their really awesome studios to continue cranking out good work over the years.
Yeah.
So,
I don't see any reason why, you know, people wouldn't keep purchasing PlayStations if, you know, they love the titles and the products that they're releasing right now. I think Sony has a very defined and popular niche right now, which is like single player,
like AAA single player,
third person, like action games.
Yeah, the top tier
RPGs. Games. Yeah. And you know, Xbox is sort of like buying up everything else, it seems like.
Yeah.
But that's always what Sony's been good at. Like, they have a lot of studios that sort of kind of make similar games. Not really, but they're all very much like single player. They've never really had like, I mean, they've had some popular multiplayer titles, but not really. They've never really had a studio that makes a big like Call of Duty, for example, or like a Fortnite.
I would like to see a Sony studio develop a new popular multiplayer shooter. I mean, Killzone was never like obviously anywhere near like Call of Duty or even Gears of War for that matter. But those were pretty fun games. It'd be cool to see either Killzone or another new franchise come to light. I mean, I'd love to see just a new IP in general. That's my biggest hope for this acquisition with Microsoft, is that these studios can develop new IP long term.
Yeah, I agree. I just hope that the teams at Blizzard can have a different change of morale and people can like going back to work there again and make the games that and the franchises that I love better again, because I miss really being excited to play WoW, and like I want a new Diablo so bad and a new Overwatch, and they're taking forever to come out. It seems like they're in development hell right now. So I hope that, you know, we get some good updates on those titles soon.
Same.
And some new IPs or new, I really just want some new Blizzard games. They've developed so many games that have just been canceled. So I hope that maybe through new leadership, they'll be more compelled to see those new ideas out instead of just canceling them. Whether they be, you know, console games, mobile games, whatever they are. I just want some new stuff.
Same. Yeah, maybe a bright future for everyone, hopefully. Yeah.
I'm being hopeful.
Same.
Maybe this won't happen at all. Maybe it'll just be nixed and everything will be the same.
Yeah, we'll see. That would be hilarious if it just crashed and burned before they even got there.
I know a couple, I was looking on Twitter a few days ago and there were some congressmen who were talking about it on Twitter. So it's definitely on the minds of some people in the government. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Jacob, speaking of Activision, we have a new article from old Jason Schreier talking about a employee group forming a union, supposedly a first in video games. North America. It says Microsoft would inherit a group of 34 unionized workers. The group is seeking recognition from management of union status. It says Microsoft's planned acquisition of Activision Blizzard Incorporated will come with an unexpected and perhaps unwelcome addition, a small group of unionized workers. About 3 dozen people who work for an Activision-owned studio agreed to form a Game Workers Alliance union, representatives of the group said Friday. They asked Activision to voluntarily recognize their union status. It would be the first union at a publicly traded video game publisher. There's a lot more to that article if you guys want to read it, but interestingly, the timing of this, it's like, obviously you can't just form that overnight. So this has probably been planned for a while.
Yeah.
And then the news of this acquisition occurs. So you got to wonder if this union will remain unionized or if they'll just disperse and go back to normal, because another potential opportunity for Microsoft is to alleviate the crunch culture or whatever you want to call it going on at Activision once they're acquired. So, I mean, obviously all of this is going to take a whole lot of time to like really shift culture at whatever studios were most impacted by the damage that Activision leadership has caused over the years.
Yeah.
But you got to wonder if this union will remain on that course after this acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, they still have over a year before this could even go through entirely.
Right,
so,
yeah. Oh yeah, this will all be settled before that deal takes place. I think this union is, I think it's Game Testers at Raven Software. Mm-hmm. And it's been in the news lately that people have been very dissatisfied about their jobs there at Raven. Not being paid enough, not getting fair workers compensation and stuff like that. And they've been very vocal about being upset there. And I think they've had several walkouts just over the lot, like towards the end of last year, they were doing a bunch of that stuff. So it's no surprise to me that they've sort of formed a union and they're asking for Activision to sort of, recognize them.
Yeah.
So I'll be very interested to see where this goes. Activision has they released a statement. I don't know where it is in here. But regardless, it'll be interesting to see what they say about what their response is to this in terms of their decision.
An interesting tidbit in Jason's article, it says unionization at big tech companies like Microsoft is rare. When a 38-person group of Microsoft bug testers organized in 2014, the company eventually dismissed them. And management at Activision hasn't acknowledged the Raven strike or responded to specific requests from the workers, representatives for the Game Workers Alliance Union said. The last quote says, it is extremely important that workers have a real seat at the table to positively shape the company going forward. Mm-hmm. Brent Real, quality assurance lead at Raven, said in a statement.
Yeah. You know, obviously some people are against unions in general. There have been good unions. There have been bad unions. You know, some unions, I mean, a union does take away your individual right to negotiate, which is just common knowledge. But I mean, you know, usually you would hope that, you know, this union is trying to make these workers' lives at the company better for their sake. That's why you form a union. But we'll see what happens. If I had to guess what's going to happen, I would say that Activision's not going to tolerate this. Just knowing their history, I would assume. Although they have had a very bad public image lately, so maybe they would be more receptive to meeting this union's demands.
I get the feeling they're going to completely destroy it, because if they allow this to happen, who knows what other groups of people will form unions. I'm not saying what they're doing is wrong, forming a union, but if they enable that for one group, there could be countless others that pop up and it'll completely radicalize and revolutionize.
That's almost certain to happen at other studios at Activision.
Yeah. So it's either you squash it, but if you let it happen, it's going to start popping up everywhere.
Yep.
And I'm not a businessman. I don't run video game studios. I don't understand all the ethics and negotiations and everything that has to happen to make that a reality. So I can't really comment beyond the very basic outsider's point of view.
I'm the same way. My knowledge of unions is lacking, to be honest.
I think it's pretty inherent that if they allow this, more will pop up over time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's up to them to deal with, not really up to us. But it is interesting to see that finally occurring. Like, they weren't just blowing smoke. They actually meant what they were saying.
Yeah. And so, if you guys have felt like we've misspoke about this, please leave a comment, you know, comment in our Discord, tag us, let us know.
For sure.
I would be very interested in learning more about this stuff if you guys feel compelled to, you know, speak about it, for sure. I always have more to learn.
Likewise. Well, on a completely different track, before we jump into questions, Jacob, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this quote from Willem Dafoe that I thought was very interesting.
Okay.
He was quoted as saying, there's something interesting about, like, if there was a Joker imposter. So it would be possible to have not dueling Jokers, but someone that claims to be the Joker that isn't the Joker. If you had Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, and then you had someone who was either imitating or riffing off what he did, I fantasized about that.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that quote is a big deal is because people, myself included, for a long time have always felt that Willem Dafoe would play a great Joker. Mm-hmm. Even kind of looks like the Joker.
Yeah.
and as much as I really love Joaquin's performance in the Joker movie, I think this could be a brilliant and very intelligent sequel to Joaquin Phoenix's Joker movie. Yeah. Instead of it being something generic like, oh, here's Batman and the Joker sequel from Joker's perspective, which also has potential, I'd rather it see more of a focus on just like the crime side of Gotham City with Joker.
Yeah.
And I think that's a brilliant idea to have an imposter be his antagonist.
I
would
think
be so cool.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is, as a writer and director, you have to direct it in a way that, unless it's the intent for Willem Dafoe to overshadow Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix is insanely talented. Dafoe's very talented. How would you make a sequel that's still focused on Joaquin's Joker, but not overshadow him with Willem Dafoe's?
I don't think he could, because if you have Joaquin Phoenix's Joker still being Joker, he's got to be the star. I would have to, especially if like Willem Dafoe's is meant to sort of be the antagonist to Phoenix's Joker. It would be weird to sort of like use Dafoe to like usher in a new Joker with this movie. But just the idea of having two Jokers clash in a movie just sounds incredible to me.
I think that's brilliant. I mean, that yeah. I don't think that quote's by accident. This has to have been pitched already.
Maybe.
And I feel like DC would be insane not to greenlight a project like this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Joker alone with Joaquin Phoenix made over $1 billion worldwide. Mm-hmm. Why would you not fund this, which would inevitably result in the same financial gain?
The excitement would be there for sure.
So
people would flock to
see it. That would be a brilliant move, and DC would be out of their minds not to pursue it.
Yeah, and I would assume this idea has been, has anything like this been done in the Batman lore? Like, I assume it has some.
Maybe in the comics. I've heard apparently there's stories of Joker imitators or people that basically worship Joker as like their god, basically. There have been comic runs like that, but it would be cool to see that something like that adapted to the screen for sure. Yeah.
And then they could like sort of play with the idea of who's the real Joker, you know, like who has better, I guess not better, but
better jokes,
more crazy ideas, ideals.
Who's more insane?
Yeah. That would be a fascinating movie. If done well, it could be messed up for sure.
It was just cool to see Willem Dafoe actually comment on the Joker role, because so many people for so long have fantasized about seeing him in that role.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing for him to be like, oh yeah, I'd be open to playing that character. But for him to say something specific like that is a big deal. Mm-hmm. So it'd be cool to see.
Definitely, dude.
But Jacob, that brings us to Ask IOG. Ask IOG is the part of the show where we answer your questions submitted through any of our social media, at It's Obvious Gaming, the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel, or email to us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. And if you want your question read live on the show, always include the hashtag AskIOG. First one comes from Dog Jesus. Interesting title for sure. Mm-hmm. Says, hey man, tell us about some of your greatest experiences with animals. Anything goes.
Oh, one thing I wanted to mention or talk about before we answer this question. Sorry to steal your thunder, Dog Jesus, but apparently Batman's going to be like 3 hours long. Does that get you excited?
Oh,
absolutely. Do you like longer movies?
I love longer movies.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm stoked for that.
That's like my most anticipated movie, I think, is that Batman movie.
Oh, same. It's so easily my most anticipated movie. So, and I know Matt Reeves is teasing it by, you know, they did the pre-screening on IMAX and Dolby Digital.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it's incredible. So he's just excited for everyone to see it.
Nice. All right, back
to. Absolutely intend to see it in one of those screens. Probably both. I'm going to see the movie multiple times, undoubtedly.
Yeah. I'll actually go see this movie.
Yeah. We should go together. Poor Zach, man, I think is, I shouldn't say poor Zach, it's a beautiful thing. His second child's being born, but he will not be able to go to the theater probably the entire time it's in theaters because his next child is being born like the week before or after it comes out. So I don't know. Maybe it's, I think it's before he's, it, their baby's due before then. So you and I can go.
Okay.
Anyway, best experiences with animals, Jacob.
You go.
Okay. Of course, you know, rescuing my dog, Dan, has been awesome. He's an amazing pup. He's adorable. He's laying behind me. So just the last year with him has been awesome. What else? I'm trying to think of some easy ones. I held a baby potbelly pig at the Renaissance Fair when I was a child, and that was adorable. Love that. Ridden some horses. That was always cool. I can't really think of too many else. I mean, I've known a lot of awesome dogs in my day, many of which have been my own, but love dogs. So nothing too particular coming to mind with animals. What about you, Jacob?
Yeah, I had one when I was a dog when I was younger. I haven't had one in a long time. I've never really been one for pets. Necessarily, not that I don't like dogs and cats, and those are really the main pets that I think about, but I don't know, they've never really been a big part of my life. My parents haven't been into them, so therefore I never really got into them. Not to say that I never want to have one. I think that I would love having a dog or a cat around, probably more so a dog than a feline. But I've had many friends that have had, you know, dogs, and mostly dogs, but I've had some friends that have cats too. And, you know, for example, Evan's dog, Sophie, and his dog, Caesar. Mostly Sophie, though. She was very comforting, very loving, and she always wanted to be around us when we were over at his house. And I always liked having her around. She's a nice presence. She was always very sweet. I love your dog, Den Garrett. He's always very loving, very excited to see everybody when they walk in the door. And, The one thing I don't like, I do not like dogs that are, you know, obviously I don't like mean dogs, dogs that aren't trained well. I don't like dogs that are very, like, I don't like dogs that jump on me that are dirty. Like, I hate that. Do not get me dirty. Like, you already shed enough. Do not get dirt on me, please. So maybe that's a good reason why I shouldn't have a dog if I can't, you know, get over that. But, I've always liked dogs a lot, but it's been a long time since I've had to take care of one. I don't have a lot of experience with cats, actually.
I met some cool cats in my day, and I mean literally cool cats.
Literally cool cats.
Yeah. So, I don't think I'll ever own a cat because I am a bit allergic to them, but I do like cats. I think they're cool.
Yeah, I sort of have a problem with shedding like animal fur. But I think it's more so a lack of exposure to it consistently. So it just, like, I'm not used to it. So it gets in my system, and my allergies are like, what is this?
It messes me up too, man. Even living in it messes me up.
Mm-hmm. your dog sheds a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Animals are the best. I'm probably forgetting a few good stories I have, but those are some that come to mind. Durkin11 writes in, says, what recent video games have you made yourself finish? For context, I'm currently playing Far Cry 6, and it's not bad, but not great. It's room temp soda. You can enjoy little moments, but overall just eh. Games I force myself to finish.
There's so many that I could mention.
You know, Skyrim. I haven't forced myself to finish a game in a while, fortunately. If I don't like a game, I just drop it.
Yeah. So, I used to refuse to do that. Like, I would always finish a game.
It helps now, especially with a lot of stuff on Game Pass. Yeah. I mean, if I download a game and I'm not into it in the first couple of hours, I drop it. Even Cyberpunk. I mean, I bought Cyberpunk, but I've given it multiple chances and I just can't get into it for some reason. So I'm probably not going to go back to it.
Yeah. I did it recently with a game I purchased on PS5 last year, which was Tales of Arise. It's sort of like a JRPG. Very anime art style. I was really into it at first, but as I kept playing it, just got kind of mundane, got kind of boring, and I was just doing the same things over and over again. The world was not that exciting, to be honest, and the characters, while they were interesting, they weren't compelling enough to keep me playing. So I just kind of dropped it. I mentioned Skyrim a second ago. I forced myself to play that.
Every now and then I want to go back and play Skyrim again.
I mean, I love Skyrim. It has very high points in terms of enjoyment. And then, you know, you play it for 100 hours and you're just like, I've seen it all. I've talked to everybody. I've done it all. A lot of it just feels the same after a while. But, you know, you could probably say that with any game that you play too long. You know? What else could I think of? I probably felt that way about Far Cry 5. I like the ending, but I had to kind of keep myself playing that. Because, I don't know, Far Cry has a very... it's very formula based. You get to a camp, you liberate it, you move on to the next one, or, you know, you go off on a sidetrack, do some hunting missions, or, you know, I think a lot of games that have like these formulas that are like annualized are kind of boring at this point, like Assassin's Creed for me, Far Cry, a lot of Ubisoft games, honestly.
Yeah, I haven't loved any Ubisoft game I played in probably the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Far Cry 6 is fun, but I don't really have not had a motivation to finish it at all.
Yeah. Far Cry 5 was the last Ubisoft game I played.
I think that's the last one I finished too. And that was I gave up on Valhalla almost immediately.
Preston enjoyed Valhalla. Oh, no, I think he did not like it actually.
He didn't, because he 100%ed it and said it was one of the worst experiences of his life. I don't know why he does that to himself.
And he kept playing it. I know, what's that game called? Phoenix Immortal Rising? That's on the Switch?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's on a lot of platforms, actually. It was like very as advertised as this Zelda game. And
that reviewed very well, but talk of it just dwindled immediately after the review period. Yeah,
I'm not sure if it sold well. I'm not really sure. I think Preston has played it. I don't know if he beat it.
I never played it.
I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said recently, I don't like a game. I just don't continue playing it.
Yeah, same.
There's so many games to play. Like, I'm not going to waste my time playing one that I don't like when I could be enjoying something else.
Right. Like, as you get older, you have less and less time to invest into things you enjoy.
If I was still in high school, dude, I would, by all means, probably force myself to finish more games. But
yeah.
I only have so much time as is that I'd rather not waste it.
Exactly.
Is it Reese? I think it's Reese.
Yeah, it's Reese.
Writes in and says, one for Jacob. What do you reckon? Halo, Mounts, and WoW?
God.
Dude, that's something I completely overlooked was the potential of crossover with some of these franchises.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't want it to be overbearing and overstay its welcome, but you could do some fun stuff like that for sure.
I would want it to be obvious and overbearing if it was necessary. Like, if you make a game that's just, it's just a bunch of collaboration, that's fine, but...
Dude, I think Halo Infinite is prime for crossover events.
Yeah.
Like maybe what? Like World of Warcraft inspired trinkets for weapons or something.
Yeah. Yeah, like a little keychain. Cool.
Yeah, like stuff like that could be fun. Like a Diablo inspired helmet or something for Halo could be cool.
That could be cool. Yeah, like fire effects.
Master Chief Collection's kind of gone crazy with their cosmetics too. I still prefer Spartans that look like Spartans, but if you're going to do crossovers, you may as well do interesting stuff like that.
Definitely. Or like add Master Chief to Overwatch or something.
Yeah, or add him to like Tony Hawk or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Tony Hawk. I forgot about Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would definitely work. You could just add a bunch of like, I don't know, Tracer from Overwatch and Tony Hawk.
Just like crazy stuff like that. Could be kind of fun.
Or like Lucio, that would make more example since he skates. I wouldn't hate there being like a Warthog in WoW as a mount. I don't think that'd be.
I mean, there's one in Forza already, and it's really awesome in Forza.
Yeah, I don't think it makes sense at all. And usually, World of Warcraft is very thematic. I don't think they'd ever do something like that, unless like a change of ideology happened. It would be much more likely to see, which Blizzard has done in the past, like crossover from their own IPs. Like they've added like mounts from something that's like a Diablo theme or like a Warcraft 3 theme. From their ITS days, stuff like that, maybe something also, from within their own studio games.
I keep thinking of Halo just because it's free to play and there's a lot of creativity with the customization of the game. With like AI, you have your custom AI that goes around with you. You could add like a Overwatch character or like a World of Warcraft character as an AI for your Spartan too.
Yeah. Like just cool. Different like voiceover.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah,
thank
a lot
you
of
for the question.
Yeah, we got one from Bohonganese. Kyle writes in and says, "Fellas, with Attack on Titan rapidly approaching its glorious end, it's got me all sentimental. I've been watching the show for almost 10 years, and I remember when I watched the first episode back then having absolutely no clue what I was getting myself into. Do you guys have any similar stories of your first steps into a property that would be so influential on your life? Also, that new Attack on Titan opening has me twerking." You and me
it's
both,
so
man.
Good.
Dude. It is pretty sick.
I love it. Every time it comes on, like the first time I listened to it, I re-listened to it. I was like, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah,
this is like this is the best intro ever. Mm-hmm. I love
it's very
this.
Very good.
Yeah, the show is it's like even like last week's episode where without spoilers, it was just very it was a lot of talking and just like building up the anticipation of an event that's happening in the show. Like even episodes like that, I just get so excited just to watch it. Like I just love the world. I love the story that's being told, and the conclusion of the story is just I expect it to be just hype levels of Game of Thrones. Hopefully it doesn't turn out like Game of Thrones, but I've enjoyed the ride so much, and I'm surprised that it's taken 10 years for this story to be told. I didn't realize that it came out 10 years ago, if Kyle is correct in this. But I never expected that this is where we would be after the first season, you know? Like, I remember the Titans, this is like minor spoilers for the show in general, like very minor, but I would never expect like the Titans that were just invading the walls of this civilization, like that it would have, you know, that they would have, how do I not spoil anything? like I would have never expected what's happened to have happened in the show in general. It's just such a roller coaster of storytelling.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing is too, they've not rushed the finish line at
exactly.
all.
Exactly.
And that was the major disappointment with Game of Thrones. It was just the rush to the finish line and just like really poor decisions for characters too. Definitely multiple factors to that, but especially the rushed ending. So Attack on Titan has clearly taken its time. And the only, I'm not really nervous about this, but Logan Smith has read all the manga and he says that the ending in the manga is not satisfying. But I feel like historically there have been many franchises that have slightly altered their endings versus like for Harry Potter, for example, like the final confrontation with Voldemort and Harry in the book is much different than the movie. And I think the movie is way more compelling than the book is in that regard. Mm-hmm. So maybe they'll alter it a bit. I don't know. I have no idea what to expect or how it ends, but I've really loved the ride. So very excited to see it conclude.
Are you caught up right now?
I am caught up. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So
I'm watching the show Demon Slayer.
I just started Demon Slayer. I meant to tell you
that.
I'm on episode 2.
Dude, isn't it good?
It is good. I mean, it's not
anything
really
I
haven't
seen yet.
It's not anything I haven't seen in anime before. It's like the very familiar trope of like the underdog who needs to become a hero to save the day at the beginning.
For sister,
Yeah, but
you're going to love it, man.
I'm excited to continue. I have enjoyed it so far.
I just love the animation in that show. And it really picks up when like you start seeing a lot of sword fights and stuff and some actual like demon fights.
Yeah.
But
I'm excited.
And then I'm also watching One Piece, which is like, when I've caught up on everything else, I'll go through One Piece. But that's like such a huge commitment that I can't really recommend it to somebody. Like I'm 340 episodes into this thousand episode
show.
What
has it been like, only like 70 something episodes for Attack on Titan?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. And they're like maybe 20 minutes long. So you'll like have lunch and you'll watch a couple of them. And that's just how I go through it. And a lot of it is just, you know, filler. A lot of it's just filler. It's meant to keep you invested in the show. So I don't like it in that regard, but I do like the overall narrative of the show. So it keeps me watching.
Other franchises that have meant a lot to me over the years, just a couple, of course, Halo, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man trilogy, Batman just overall. So I'm obviously highly anticipating the new Batman film.
Yeah, I didn't answer his question at all.
So,
stories that have been influential on my life. I think it would be dumb for me to say that WoW hasn't been that. I've very much been along for that ride ever since the beginning, which is crazy to think about. I think it's been 17, 18 years at this point. I haven't been there from the very start, I guess. I sort of started at the tail end of Classic and or Vanilla and Burning Crusade, at the beginning of Burning Crusade. So towards the beginning, I guess I really became a hardcore player in the third expansion and Wrath of the Lich King. Yeah, I've been along for that story for a long time. Similar story, first steps into a proper that would be influential on your life. I don't know about influential on my life. Like, it's just an important part of my life. Like, influential on your life assumes that it's, like, changed your life and it's, like, impacted you and you wouldn't be the same today without it. I don't know if, like, any game would do that to me necessarily, or property. I guess Harry Potter. I could say Harry Potter, right? Like, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter. Those are very much things that I think about, not daily, but, you know, those are stories that I love so much. And like, they keep me entertained when other things don't, like just thinking about them, you know, just how happy in that moment when you first experienced it, or when you watch it again, even, you know, it just fills you with all sorts of emotions that make living every day worth it, you know?
Yeah.
When other things bring you down.
Yeah, I recently rewatched all the Harry Potter movies. I usually do that annually anyway. But
I haven't. It's been a couple of years for me.
I rewatched all of them around Christmas and into New Year's, and loved it as always. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I wanted to comment on this. I think it was on Sacred Symbols or some other article that Preston sent me, that Hogwarts Legacy is apparently in a lot of trouble right now.
I saw a headline for that.
Yeah, so it's probably not coming this year, which really bums me out. And by trouble, I hope it isn't like the games in just pieces, because I can't stand Squandered Potential, dude. And, you know, we've fantasized about that game forever. So
if they can't fix it, just don't release it, man. Like, it has to be good.
Yeah.
It has to.
So we will see, because I can already imagine like a Fable 1 vibe and like sense of humor to the game, even though it has nothing to do with Lionhead Studios or Fable, just like that sort of tone to the game is magical and fun and enjoyable. And then everything else about Harry Potter and the potential of the RPG elements are so high that to reach them is an astronomical feat in and of itself.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine the challenges they're facing. So I don't envy those challenges, but I hope for the very best.
Me too. Well said.
Last one's from Fribes. He says, antibacterial hand soap, or B, favorite scented hand soap, but not antibacterial. I'm very passionate about antibacterial hand soap. That's pretty much all I use, but I have had scented hand soaps that are like, I don't know what you call it, like forest cedar or something. It's like different stuff like that. There's that one brand, I can't remember what it's called, that's really popular.
Is it
it's not antibacterial.
Oh, what's it called? I think I know what you're talking about. They have like it's those like a really very stylized label. Labels.
Yeah, yeah. I've had that stuff.
We have those at work. That's why I know what you're talking about. I've bought a couple of them before. They have like all these trendy flavors and stutter scents. Yeah,
flavors.
I got to be honest, Freeves, I don't care. Like, soap is soap, dude. As someone that, you know, I don't care about soap that much, but I wash my hands a lot. Like, I'm very clean. I like to be neat. I like to be clean. So maybe one is better than the other. I'm not educated on the subject, but I would guess that antibacterial hand soap is better than the latter. Yeah, I like soap because it makes me clean. To answer your question, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Solid response, Jacob. That ought to do it.
That was a good show.
Yeah, it was good. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for tuning in to episode 266 of the It's Obvious podcast. Wherever you're listening, we greatly appreciate it. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, YouTube, wherever you prefer to listen, it's out there. And we greatly appreciate your support. And we look forward to next time, of course. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on the Microsoft Activision Blizzard acquisition.
Yes.
Anything else we covered today, anything else we missed, by all means, please comment on either Discord or send us an email or comment on YouTube, wherever you prefer. We'd love to hear from you guys. That is the whole reason we do this podcast, is, of course, for the two or usually three of us to stay in touch about video games, but also to, hear from you guys and talk it out. So yeah, thanks in advance.
Let us know if you are going to be picking up Pokemon Arceus, Pokemon Legends Arceus.
I'm
going to
predict the reviews for that game. We're getting fives and sixes.
What?
Yeah.
Don't say that.
I'm predicting it right now.
What's wrong with you?
Come on. Loose cannon, man.
I'm still buying it. I need something to play, something new.
But I've been wrong before.
I hope you're wrong. I want this to be good. I really do.
Gonna know soon. Gonna know. I mean, I think people are probably reviewing it as we speak. So that maybe. Review window is, when does it release again?
This coming Friday, I believe.
Yeah, so I bet the embargo is like Monday or Tuesday. Now, if it's the day before, that's when you know it's a serious problem.
Yeah, but maybe.
We'll see.
I feel like people are excited about it. I feel like it's been trending upwards in terms of perception and excitement. So we'll see what happens. I'm hopeful. Just like I am about Microsoft acquisition of Activision Blizzard. Everyone be hopeful, guys. It's going to be okay. Blizzard's going to be okay. We hope.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk to you on Discord. And if anyone wants to play Halo this week, I'll probably play a little Halo. So I'm looking for some more consistent teammates. That'd be fun. Jacob, another video I'd love to do with you is finally do that Hunt Showdown video we've been talking about forever.
We should do that.
I've been making a little list of videos I want to make.
Nice. Yeah, I still have it downloaded. Let's do it.
Great. We'll talk about it and get it done soon. But yes. Again, everyone tuning in, thanks for listening, and we hope you have a wonderful week.
See you guys next time.
Peace.